All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out in Augusta. He's hanging out with Justin.
I wish.
Don't you wish,
I
man?
I wish. Man, do I wish I was down there. Have an egg salad sandwich with pimento.
Get the pimento going.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be awesome, right? You know, but no, I'm here with you, Patrick, because I'm dedicated to my craft.
I know you are.
So we're here, and we got lots to talk about, you know. I just was reading an article about Captain Sandy and Hannah from Below Deck. I didn't know they were having a fight. I just got caught up on that, you know. I was like, oh, wow.
Who is Captain
Sandy? I rely on you to give me my Bravo information, and I feel like you've let me down in that area.
Because I never watched it, so that's a good place to start. Trolling starts early on a Thursday. Good to see you too, Michael. Fast and Firm.
I missed you, Patrick.
I'm sure you did. No, I'm sure you have. Fast and Firm, Michael, because as I look right now, it's sunny. It's 80, 83-ish. But we could be seeing some rain come tomorrow. Obviously, scattered T storms and rain for Saturday and Sunday on the horizon. So the club was upset. The Masters, Augusta, was upset because of what happened 5 months ago when DJ decimated that course. Fast and Firm, and it looks like it could potentially slow down. So that's where we stand right now.
You know, and I didn't know this. Brady said this yesterday. Apparently, at Augusta, they have one of the greatest drainage underground systems that anyone could possibly ever have. And so they will suck the moisture out of the ground no matter how much thunder rain they get and try to keep this course as difficult. I think we were talking yesterday, Patrick. I think Augusta wants the scoring to be somewhere between 8 and 10 under the winner. I don't think they want to get into double digits.
No.
I think they like it to be 10 or under. And I think it creates more of a, yes, this is a challenging course. Yes, we reward you. But there's also great risk. The hole that I think it doesn't get enough love or enough play is the 10th. With that drive coming out of there.
Absolutely.
And remember when Rory McIlroy just tanked it way right over there? It was so far. I think it's one of the hardest holes in golf, and yet we never really talk about it. We talk about 11, we talk about 12, and we talk about the par fives. But to me, that back nine is, it starts out really hard.
Rory's sitting even through four, Michael, and you mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, 20 under last year for DJ, that broke the record, obviously, of 18. That is something they don't want to see. Now, there's reasons for it. The conditions, there's a lot of watering going on that time of the year, so it was a course you could attack. This is going to be a little bit different. I didn't hear yesterday, who is your guy coming into the week?
You know, my son Matthew, I rely on him to give me golfing bets because he is a golfer, and he was all over Jordan Spieth, but I'm really not comfortable with Spieth after the win in San Antonio. So I'm going to go. And then the next one is JT, Justin Thomas. I think that's the one I'm going to go with. And I could see somebody's got $10,000 to win.
I see. That's your bet. You bet 10 grand on JT, huh?
Yeah, I wish I did. I would get in trouble with the accountant if I did that. I like Justin Thomas. I thought that was a good play. I'm trying to think who else I had going in there. We were talking about it yesterday. I had Cameron Smith is another one that I like. I like Cameron Smith too.
And he tees off with Spieth coming up 2 o'clock your time as far as Cameron Smith and Morikawa. You know, this is obviously a course where second shot course, iron play. So Morikawa, Spieth, Justin Thomas, who you just mentioned, you look to those. Also experience, you know, the winners are generally going to come from the players with inside that top 10 and guys that have played here before. Familiarity with this course is so important.
So important. And understand, and you know, this is a shot-making course because you've got to put the ball in the right spot on the green to give yourself a chance to have a putt that you can make in two putts, at least, whether you make birdie or not.
Yep.
But if you're in the wrong place, you can easily three-putt, and I think that's why we've seen it. How about Tony Finau? Do you like him at all? I kind of feel like his time, he's been right there, and he's been close. His time seems to be coming. What are your thoughts?
Finau's like the nicest guy on tour, and do they say nice guys finish second? He's always, always finishing second. He's always on the cusp. He's always there on Sunday.
That's Ricky Fowler.
Ricky, you can't find Ricky. I haven't seen Ricky in a while.
I mean, Ricky should be a greeter in Vegas. He should be the guy that when you walk into Caesar's Palace, hello, everybody, nice to have you, welcome, you know?
Standing out by the fountain.
Yeah, exactly, you know? I mean, like, we should get him down there. Him and Paulie. I was out on Paulie this morning. I was wondering why he wasn't down there being at the first tee. Paulie likes to play the hole-in-ones. Did you know that? He loves the hole-in-one, whether there's a hole, the prop, hole-in-one.
Gotcha.
Yes, there'll be a hole-in-one, no. I think he went yes this year. Typically, he likes to go no on that.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Spieth, won at Valero last week, but the putter's back. And obviously, this course and just the undulation and the greens are so, so tough. Morikawa right now, best iron player in the world, just going down the list here. JT won the Players. It's a different course, obviously, here, but this is a guy that's won a PGA. He's 27. Feels like could be stepping into his time at Augusta. But Rahm, who we were confused with when he had the kid. He's had the kid.
Yeah.
He's never been happier.
You.
He is a moody guy. But he has three straight top 10 finishes at Augusta. The idea of the kid maybe bouncing and bounding into the tournament, three straight top 10s, he's one to look out for as well, Rahm.
He's not getting any sleep, though.
No.
Can he get any sleep?
He's one under through four, by the way.
Well, good for him. How about Lee Westwood? Do you think Lee Westwood has anything? He's played so well. He hasn't been able to win and finish. Do you think he has anything left for this?
Eventually, Lee is. Now, it's different. He'd be the oldest to ever win the Masters at 47. Obviously, Jack at 46. I think he's like 8 months older than Jack was back in, 86, where he was 46, I believe it was. He would be the oldest. But think about it. Look at Lee Westwood. There's a picture of him right there in front of you. And think about Jack some 30 years ago, just the difference in conditioning. And a 47-year-old in 2021 does not look the same as 30 years ago.
No, well, he's got a personal trainer as a fiance, so obviously he's
pretty
been
good.
Working out. Yeah, Jack, do you remember Jack lost weight? And then that tournament that when he was 35 years ago, he had just got that big putter. That was the rage,
yep.
And he got the big putter. And you can still hear Vern Lindquist in the background saying,
the
maybe.
Best.
Yes, sir.
He raised
call.
The putter. And remember, his son was on on the bag. He was looping for him. And this time around, Westwood's son is actually going to be on his bag. He's going to be caddying for Lee Westwood. So maybe that'd be cool because one of the nicer guys on tour. I mean, they're all, you hear good things about everybody except Patrick Reed.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Except for Captain America.
Yeah, what did he do? I have no idea. Let me ask you, how about Mickelson? Do you have any hope that he can turn it around?
No.
I don't either.
I think when I think of Mickelson right now, I think he's going to do well with his keto diet. That's what I think.
Is he on the keto diet?
Oh, yeah. He's big time into it. Keto. I just got
Keto.
Corrected by Steph, who will not let us put
Thank
her on
you,
there
Stephanie.
Because she did give me her four plays, though, by the way. Finau was one
I'd
of hers.
Oh, I'd love to hear, please.
At 30
Finau.
To 1, she's
Thank
got
you,
Finau.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for agreeing with me. Thank you. Okay.
She also has, I believe it was Justin Thomas.
Yes.
Go ahead, Steph. Tell me in my ear. Who's the other three? Two. She forgets. Good. That's a good better. She's completely all over the map. DeChambeau, who is polarizing as well, 11 to 1 on the board. She can't think of the last one.
And I will say this, and happy birthday, Bill Berman.
She's on vacation.
DeChambeau is not on Bill Berman's list, I could tell you that. I think he's on JT. I'm sure we'll get a text to confirm sooner than later. I think he was on JT. I think he wants to be on Brooks Koepka, but he's not sure. And then I do think he was on Rahm. I do think that.
JT.
Nobody's talking.
No, please,
nobody's
go ahead.
No one's talking about Dustin Johnson. Can he repeat? You know? And I do think that he's still, why can't he? Really?
He hasn't been playing well, but he and Koepka have the same vibes where
there we go.
They step
up. I knew I'd get a text.
Here comes
Jack
Billmer.
Smart. All right. Now, Jack, we were getting commentary on our commentary.
Koepka and DJ.
That's the best. It's when you get editorial control
I'm aware. Yeah, he's running the campaign. He's running the show. DJ and Koepka, don't they have the same vibes, Michael, where they don't have to be playing well? Listen, Koepka's coming back from the knee surgery. He had a dislocated knee, and he just had surgery. He's going to play. They have the same vibes where they're just kind of flatliners as personalities. They step up here, and you can see the number DJ 9-1 at BetMGM.
Yeah, and Berman has DeChambeau not making the cut. That's personal. That's more personal than it is.
That's
just
called
his gut
spite.
Feeling. Exactly.
That's called. Hey, by the way, and we'll keep you updated here on VSiN. I didn't realize this. Can you help me understand? So Justin Fields is going to throw at a second pro day, and Shanahan and Lynch are showing up. I'm sorry, I must have been out of the loop on this. I didn't realize he was going to be throwing at the second pro day.
Well, I mean, I think he probably is trying to encourage it. My understanding is that he is not on a lot of boards at high at that point up at the top of the board. So I think he's probably realizing that his agent's like, look, we need to throw. And look, I said this on my podcast, Patrick. I think we can disagree on the evaluation of players. You know, what you think is different than how you think. And I was trying to explain on my podcast why I see a report today by Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football saying the Patriots could make a move to trade up to get Justin Fields at 4. Here's why us as a betting network, you've got to understand how the mechanics of the draft work. So for you to say, I'm going to move up in the draft, you have to have verbiage next to the player's grade, right? It's not he's a first-round pick. You've got to be willing to say Justin Fields demonstrates the quality to be a blue-chip player against blue-chip level competition and will be one of the top 5 players at his position in the league. Unless you can say that in his grade, unless you can say that with a period and put it in ink, you can't trade up to go get him. You can't. Now, you could grade him 64, but that doesn't mean you're trading up to get him. And I think this is what we miss so much about handicapping the draft. We just all assume that everybody in those draft rooms is operating as we do on the outside, saying he's a first, he's a second, he's a third. There's verbiage attached to each player's grade. And unless you can quantify it in a way to where, okay, if I redshirt Trey Lance within a year, he will be a blue-chip player. Why do you think they gave up what they did for Patrick Mahomes? Because the verbiage in their draft room said, if we draft this player, he demonstrates the skills needed to be a top-5 player at his position. Period. End of story. Okay, let's go get him.
Okay.
Can you say that about Justin Fields? I can't.
Let me throw a number at you. If I gave you right now, this is 2 days ago at a book, I'll give it, but I don't think it's budged much. Justin Fields, over under 3.5 draft position. The over is favored a little bit, minus 134. 3.5 Fields, where are you at right now?
I'd go over.
I think and by the way, I've had people contact you. You've set the market for this Mac Jones 3 thing. Just so you know, everybody's referencing, and it's good that you're being referenced, and I'm sure VSiN appreciates it as well, but you are being referenced as the guy that said, look, Michael Lombardi says Mac Jones, San Francisco, and Shanahan's going to be making that call. Are you still comfortable with that?
He's making a call.
I know.
He is. I mean, look, I think there's a debate about Trey Lance in the building. I'm sure they want more information on Justin Fields. You know, the only way you can be certain about Mac Jones is to watch the rest of the players. You know, now, it's funny. Workouts are so funny. I was talking to a team yesterday, a team that's rumored to be trading up to get a quarterback, and we were talking about Justin Fields' workout. And, you know, if you study the workout, it was not what people think it is. His footwork, his mechanics are not exactly. Now, who's grading it? You know, we have so many people that don't know what they're grading. They're just grading these workouts. You know, and evaluate the evaluator. Part of the problem with drafting NFL quarterbacks is there's too many people involved in the decision. There's way too many. Too many people that don't know. Too many people that don't understand the mechanics of what it takes to play the position. And so there's various different reports all over the place. And it comes down to one decision maker in each organization. That's why I think Mac Jones goes 3 to San Francisco. That's why I think that the Patriots to trade up to get a Justin Fields will be challenging because of the grading system that's attached.
You know, 2 years ago, you hit over 60% in an NFL season and made the bettors here at VSiN a lot of money. Last year for the draft, if people paid attention, Michael Lombardi would have, cleaned up on the secondary market. I can say this. On Monday, Stephanie just texted me, on Monday, Jones was plus 140 to go 3, then plus 120 on Tuesday. Now he's minus 200. So you got to lay 200 to win 100. He's jumping up as the favorite.
And I'm not the only one saying it. Christopher Sims is saying it. There's a lot of people saying it. Today I was on Mitch and Pauly, and they had some draft Nick who said he talked to somebody at the 49ers. It's 95%. I would say it's 95% sure that Mac Jones is going to go three. I think there's always – look, you know, we have the recheck physicals in Indianapolis this weekend. That's significant, right? That's significant because what happens if something comes back that Mac has something that we don't know? I don't know. I'm not hoping that at all. But there's always a little bit of degree of uncertainty, probability, you know. And so, you know, I say it's 95% that he's going to go three. I think it's a good play.
I have a question for you, and this is when we start to get the season win totals, and Vinny Maliulo is going to join us from behind the book.
When do we get those, by the way?
We should be getting them soon. I know a couple offshore books.
I don't want to know them. I want to do a show.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to know them. I have a question.
I don't want to know them.
What's the difference, ultimately, between Jimmy Garoppolo and Mac Jones?
Well, Garoppolo's a much better athlete. Much better athlete. I think Mac Jones, and again, we're talking football intelligence now. I think Mac Jones is more cerebral at the line of scrimmage, can get in and out, understands the concepts of what the Alabama offense was doing more than Jimmy. Jimmy's a baller. Jimmy's going to go play. Jimmy's not dumb, but Jimmy's going to go play.
I got you.
You know, Jimmy's going to make some mistakes.
Because I think that's important when we do get those season win totals to really understand, conceptualize.
I think they trade Jimmy before. I don't think they're going to hold on to Jimmy either.
Yeah, you've been saying that. All right. We come back, Michael's going to fix the Dolphins. You know what? It's a team that's in a pretty good spot as far as assets and draft picks.
You think so?
The problem is...
don't have a quarterback.
Don't talk about that. Listen, if you talk about it, you're fired, bro. When we come back, we're going to fix the Dolphins. Masters Week, Lombardi Line, VSiN. It's BetMGM Nevada basketball, hockey. You got golf right now. Everything you need. It's your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring that ID. You're ready to go within minutes. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. Got a gambling problem? Please call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, we do welcome you back. It's a great day. Masters underway. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher. Live.
Do you have it on in there?
We do. Got it on in the corner down here. Yeah. Actually, my TV went out here, Tom. If we can get Michael up on the monitor that went down. We're going to fix the Miami Dolphins here, Michael. They've missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. Okay, we're good to go. Okay, Jacoby Brissett is now the vet backup behind Tua, which is important here as we continue to talk about fixing the Dolphins. We'll start there. Where would you start?
Well, I think you got to start with the philosophy, right? Understanding how they think, not what they think. I think that's really important. And so, you know, a lot of people haven't taken a receiver because of Tua and, you know, taking a running back and all that. I think this is going to be about defensive linemen if they get there. I think at the sixth pick in the draft, I could see them taking the best player, the highest rated player they have on the board. Could it be Kyle Pitts? I think ideally they would love it to be the Sewell kid from Oregon. I think that would be a plug and play. They can move Austin Jackson over to the right tackle, and they could move on and put him at left tackle, and they would solidify their offensive line, which has been really part of the problem. You know, so I think you start there. They've got a lot of money in their cornerbacks position, Patrick, between Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. They just re-signed Justin Coleman, who was let go by your Lions. So I think defensive linemen, I think that's going to be the critical component. You know, They traded away Shaq, the kid Shaq Lawson. They traded him to Minnesota. They get McKinney come in there to play linebacker. So for me, it's about defensive linemen. I think it's the offensive tackle position at six. I think that's what they're going to look at. If they could get Kyle Pitts to play tight end to go with Gillespie, they would have two really dynamic receiving tight ends. Maybe no one to block, but they could be really disruptive. And then I think they've got to decide what they want to do at receiver. You know, they've got Will Fuller, who can be dynamic if he only plays eight games. Right. Devontae Parker's one of the best receivers in football. When he's on the field, they have durability issues at receiver. So I could see them going in that instance. But to me, the sixth pick in the draft, it screams defensive front seven or offensive lineman. That's where they want to go. Now, they traded up back for a reason, and we've kept the elephant out of the room because they traded back up for what? I know they're. I know they've made a lot of phone calls for Deshaun Watson. I know they're in that. Now, whether they trade Deshaun Watson or not, that's a whole other. We've got Deshaun Watson off the field issues, and then we've got what Houston's going to do on the field. So I don't want to. I don't want to get down to any of that road. It's got to work itself out. But I do know. I do know that there's teams in the league that have interest in Deshaun that think Miami's the main competition.
It, just to be clear. We're putting the legal stuff to this side over here. You are telling us that, yes, the Miami Dolphins have been interested and continue to be interested in Deshaun Watson.
But there's no way to be interested in under the current situation, which is completely understandable. And nothing's going to happen with Deshaun until that goes through the process, which it has to do. So that then leads us to where they go at quarterback. Do they love Justin Fields? Do they think Trey Lance is good enough? Do they think he's better than Tua? I get the sense from talking to people in and around the edges that they're not sold on Tua, that they see the same thing that we see with Tua. They're concerned about that, and I think that that could lead them down the road. Do they think Trey Lance is better? I don't know that. Do they think that Justin Fields is better? I don't know that. I do think they think there are other options perhaps they could pursue.
No, the Watson piece is important. The information is important because that's literal that we don't know if he's even going to play next year. But the philosophy behind the Dolphins being intrigued by him is the bigger story here.
Right, and they have the assets to do it, right? They have complete assets to do it. And it makes sense for them to at least explore it and try to find out. But once again, I think it's very challenging to trade for something that you don't know what you're getting, you know. And I think it's hard to trade something that you don't know what you're trading. When the Panthers receive Sam Darnold, really the Jets don't know what they gave up. They really don't. They think they do, but they're not sure. I think that's always hard to make that trade.
Right now at BetMGM, make the playoffs. No is favored 165 with the Dolphins. Win the AFC East, they're 3-1. AFC, they're 12-1. That's sixth best odds, pardon me, in conference. And then win the Super Bowl, they're 25-1. But the important piece coming out of that, go ahead, Michael.
I'm not going anywhere near them on those odds until they prove that that quarterback can play. A, he can stay healthy, and B, can he actually function in an offense to throw the ball outside the numbers? Remember, Patrick, another year of watching him is only going to make it harder for him.
I think we got through 4 minutes talking about the Miami Dolphins, and you were remarkably nice to Tua. You should pat yourself on the back.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Vinny Maliulo, he's coming up. It's the new you. Vinny, it's spring. Everybody's in a good mood. Vinny's
spring,
next.
It's Masters time.
Masters Week, and no one has better golf coverage than we do right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, this week's episode of Long Shots with our golf experts, Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Eumanns, plus a special appearance from Scott Van Pelt. It's the first major of the year, and our golf team is ready to help you make some cash. Start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Again, you get everything we offer right now for free. So go there and start your subscription. Michael Lombardi, this is the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book here at the South Point joins us now. And Michael, as he sat down, he said it's the Masters. It's the 85th Masters. However, this year it's known as the Jordan Spieth Love Fest.
Oh,
as
yes.
he went off as the favorite here at the South Point. Let's talk about that number.
Yeah, so think about this.
Welcome.
Good to be with you. Gentlemen, as always.
Thank you, Vinny. It's always good to have you.
You know, guys, the Masters, we know, and we've talked at length about the fact that it is the number one bet golf event of the year. But you typically have, like, a year to book it, right? I mean, 10 months, 12 months to book it. This year, it was in November and was very well received, very well played. But, you know, it didn't slow anything. Actually, I think it increased. Because of the tradition of it, this is a traditional time for it. Plenty of tickets written, especially piggybacking off of the the Final Four last week. So we saw the Final Four add that last week of the tournament, Sweet 16 on, that in regular season baseball wins and futures saw a flurry of activity. Well, we saw a flurry of activity with the Masters with the Final Four this year. So that said, Jordan Spieth in November wasn't playing well, right? Hadn't had a particularly good, 4 years. 60-1, we opened him.
Wow.
60-1. And
closed probably 9-1?
We closed him at 8-1. 7-1, actually. 7-1.
Yeah. Oh my God. He must have got hammered yesterday.
Well, even up through yesterday. I mean, you think there and go, well, you know, now it took six, because he started playing pretty well, right? The last couple of months, of course.
Oh, he won, played Bay Hill, he played great at Pebble, he won at Valero.
Yep. So there was, you know, we were adjusting, but people were betting. There's accumulation of tickets too. There's a few folks out there with that 60-1, you know. And again, with the Masters being a course for the horses, so to speak, right? Because it's there every year, and who's got good history there? He's won there. The fact of the matter is, he became the most popular golfer there. Dustin Johnson, we had to raise him. We raised him to 10-1. We had the best price in the state yesterday on
7-1, Michael. That is ridiculous.
Vinny, yep. The question I have for you, and maybe this is just, you know, if it's red, you know, then you got to play black the next hand. But once he won in San Antonio, my instinct said, yeah, I know he's playing well, and yeah, he's been really good, but it's hard to go back to back in golf. This isn't like, you know, so, and that didn't stop anybody, right? That didn't seem to stop anyone.
No, and the reason for that, Michael, is, again, current form, but more so the fact that it's at Augusta where he's won. So I think folks felt that, listen, he's playing better. He's gotten over whatever his issues were, particularly putting, I think, the last couple of few years.
No, putter's back big time.
So here he is. And, in fact, how about this? We put up a top 10 prop for several golfers, including Spieth. And let me give you this one. Will he finish in the top 10? The no was minus 220. The yes was plus 190. They bet it all the way down to $1.65.
Plus, oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you get that. You know, Tiger every year drew interest. So now is a better what you're looking at, and here's what's important, too, especially with the Tiger factor, obviously not the case this year. But when Tiger drew so much betting attention, you always got a better price on other golfers,
right,
other contenders. The same thing happened here, but not to the extreme, where you had Spieth, again, going down to 7-1. Dustin Johnson, who was originally the favorite at 8-1, wound up going up to 10-1. So you're getting a better price on other contenders because there's interest in this case, or so much interest in Spieth. And again, as an operator, as a bookmaker, you want to be in a position, or you should be, if you're going to book things properly, if you're going to lower prices, you need to raise other prices.
So. Yeah, it's coming in, Michael. Like you said, it hasn't happened often where somebody won the tournament after winning the tournament coming into it. And he would become DJ if he wins at the fourth player to go back-to-back. Jack, yeah. Faldo, and Tiger were the only other three to win the Masters back-to-back. So that's what DJ's chasing. But I'm shocked. I don't know about you, Michael. Are you shocked at the number dipping down to 7-1 on Spieth?
I'm shocked that he's better. He's a better number than, I mean, it's a more expensive number than on Dustin Johnson. I mean, this course is Johnson. It's made for Johnson. It's, you know, we've been wondering why he hadn't won it before this one. And now that he's got it under his belt, now he's playing with house money. So it's shocking to me. I think Spieth has played much better, but there's an argument to be made that, you know, down the stretch at Pebble, he didn't play well. The last seven holes of Pebble, he didn't play well. You know, and he didn't play well. And then a couple of those other tournaments, he had the lead. When the pressure got to him, I don't think he played well. Now, he makes the big putt at Valero to give him a two-stroke lead going into 18, which was huge. You know, that was huge. He made that. But I was a little worried about him then. I mean, you know, it looked like he was given a little ground there. And, you know, the par five, he barely got it down and made the par five. But the next hole, he made birdie. So, you know, I'm not sold that he's all the way back, that he's the Spieth of old.
Matsuyama, yeah. By the way, rolling. He's 3-under through 9.
Yeah. Hideki, we used we had him at 40, got as high as 50, and then some money came in on him. He closed at 40.
So. Any big tickets
Vinny,
written?
When we come back, mm-hmm. Yeah. When we come back, Vinny, is there guys that just play golf? Are there guys that really do this every day?
We should go into it.
Let's get into that.
What they play specifically, and I'll give you a little bit of history and how it's evolved.
Matchups, and we'll explain to the better exactly how you can bet golf. I think too often we just gloss over how you can actually attack the sport, which we'll do coming up. Mm-hmm. Quickly, any big tickets written that you're nervous about?
No, not. I mean, big tickets, you know, you've got some $1,000 tickets, 2,000s and things like that. But I think overall, I think, the field, I mean, you're sweating Spieth a bit, but
at 60, what 60 to 1?
60. But the thing about it is, you know, is there anything out there, you know, that's going to, you know, put us out? As I always tell
the
you,
the lights
Patrick,
are on.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll be open to
He's quietly
tomorrow.
Cocky. You know he's kind of a jerk, Michael.
Come Monday, we're still going to be here.
It's the one
you,
thing.
You, I don't know.
He's got a,
I'm not sure.
He's got a Jim Nance vibe to him, but underneath it, he's not a great guy. We come back with Vinny. Let's talk about how to attack the sport of golf. Betting options here at the South Point as we continue on the Lombardi Line on a Thursday. We're in a good mood. The Masters is here.
That's right.
They've outdone themselves this time because if you place a $1 bet at BetMGM and any golfer makes a birdie, you win $100. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. So get over there and do it. Use the bonus code VSIN100. A great offer here. $1 to win $100 on a birdie at BetMGM. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, in Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Tennessee, call or text Redline 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. It is Masters Week. It's Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo is here. Let's jump into where you just, the question you asked, which I think was a fun one, as far as guys and gals that specifically focus on betting golf. And then let's get into, for a novice bettor, some ways to attack the sport, Vin.
So a little bit of history. Again, golf was, I'll go back to, the 80s and 90s where, golf, we always put up the Masters. You put up some events, and then we started to put up head-to-head matchups. And here's where we realized that there were some very good, respected and professional betting opinions in golf, the head-to-head matchups. There were several individuals that would just come in and absolutely lock in and nail it. And there's still men and women today that are that proficient with it. And you've got to respect their opinions just like you would in anything else. You know, you say, well, who so-and-so is really good with college football, so-and-so with pro football, baseball, college baskets, and hockey. As an operator, you want that information, and you want that you want to respect that information. For years, when he was rolling, Tiger Woods would just absolutely annihilate books. But it wasn't that. But when I say annihilate, he may be five figures early on. I remember Tiger closing as 7-5 in the Masters.
Yeah, Michael, I asked Vinny if he ever closed even money. So think about it this way. Spieth went off at 7-1, which is a crazy number. It's so short.
Right.
But Tiger was close to even money to win to win the Masters. I mean, that is the dominance. And also control. Yeah. It's market-based. But think about that. Vinny, that's an insane. What'd you go, +120? Was that the lowest you went?
No, $1.40.
Oh, wow.
7-5.
Oh,
so
my
gosh. You're looking at that, and you're like, now you have a year to mitigate it and everything like that, and again you're getting, other guys were you're getting terrific prices on other golfers.
Crazy.
But pros also, they'll look at futures And they'll follow the futures during the course. You know, Matt Youmans, who, you know, Brady Cannon, Wes Reynolds, when they do long shots, they'll talk about it. And they'll happen to be, let's say, you know, a couple of months ago, they'll be, and others like them, will look up at the board, and they'll be in betting football or betting, you know, the tournament. And you'll look up and say, wait a second, are you serious? That's the price on so-and-so? You know, Bubba Watson, who's won the Masters, lefties typically get a lot of play, right? We had him at 40-1, no interest. I raised him to 65-1. It's almost like, well, wait, you're almost obligated to say, I got to take a flyer
Two-time winner.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now where pros really lock in is not so much on the futures, or they'll look for prices on futures, but on the matchups.
Explain that to the better.
So the matchups are head-to-head matchups. And if you look, again, we'll look at DJ, the first one we put up, Dustin Johnson against Bryson DeChambeau. DJ, a quarter, minus a quarter, plus 105. That's for the entire tournament. So based on the entire tournament, whether both or either make the cut or not, that who has the best score. And again, if somebody advances, then obviously they finished higher, right? So the other part is we put up matchups by day for the Masters. So now you're looking and you're saying, okay, I've got these individuals for the entire event, but I've also got these golfers for today, and then round two, round three, round four, and then adjusted futures during the course of the event where bettors will say, listen, do I want to maybe press up who I have, or do I want to now look and see, wow, maybe I'm hedging a little bit, sure, or whatever the case may be. So golf betting has evolved, and when I want to say this specifically, from a percentage increase of betting interest, golf is as high as we've seen in any other sport. From a percent, now it's not the handle.
I get you.
But from an increase in
interest percentage
of handle, it's grown even probably more so than hockey with the advent of the Golden Knights. But the golf handle on a weekly basis, but especially the Masters, and the Masters is king, followed by the U.S. Open. And
you're going to have two new customers because Lombardi and Berman, I can tell they're getting fired up about this golf bet.
Well, you should.
I like it. I like the matchups. Like I know when Rory McIlroy, I know when Ricky Fowler is not going to play good when he shoots his 67. Then the next day I would bet him against somebody. Like if you watch it enough, you can kind of tell. I'm not picking on Ricky Fowler, but I am picking on Ricky Fowler. But you could tell, like, who you want to play against and kind of the feel of it. And I'm sure there's some in golf betting. Mm-hmm. And I think that also I asked Steve Mackinnon yesterday, and I was like, did you run he has that race simulator that he runs, mm-hmm, that he kind of does, which to me, based on the way Tiger Woods golf online, you know, the way they, all these golfers, you could kind of simulate this based on familiarity with the course, based on the way they're playing. I think you could come up with an algorithm that could lead you to at least 10 players that you think are going to play well. And I wouldn't be shocked if one of those 10s wins it. That's why I think it's a sport that you could make. I think you have as much chance to make money here as you do in any other sport, even though it looks like you're just betting one guy.
Absolutely.
But I think you have a better chance.
And props with top 10 betting, there's plenty of ways to go.
There's a lot of ways to go. And again,
look, yesterday, Vinny, Brady was talking about Ian Poulter versus Mickelson straight, you know, on a prop, you know, head to head. You know, who would you take? And he took Poulter, and what? Poulter's come out and played fairly well. I don't know what I saw him make a chip in putt online, but I mean, I get that. You know, you kind of get a sense of it, and you could see who's playing good and who's not, and then go with it. Yeah, I like it.
Well, the other aspect of it with golf and so many golfers, right? I mean, you have a situation with 88 golfers here, and again, it's the Masters, so there's a lot of history, and that helps as well. But let's say here's a comparison. There are over 350 Division I men's college basketball teams. You don't have to follow every team. You can lock in on a particular conference or a couple of conferences. Same with college football, although not as many Division I schools. But you can lock in, right? You can lock in, as Michael pointed out, on a particular golfer or several golfers here, right? Again, Spieth last week, Texas guy, wins in Texas, wins in San Antonio. You know, are you following guys here that maybe played at Georgia Tech and are now at Augusta? You know, they played at Augusta earlier. So you're able to follow specific golfers as a bettor, whereas we've got to kind of say, okay, look, here's the field. You know, you want to try to assign somebody on your staff that's, you know,
it's fun to strategize too. You know,
well,
to
you
sit
do.
Back.
Yeah.
You're one of two people when it comes to golf, even if you're not playing, but on TV, you know
sure.
what I mean? Like aesthetically, you're the person that gets into the vibe of it,
mm-hmm.
the aesthetics, which I love to have it on in the background constantly
sure.
at my house
yeah.
when I'm working. It's the only sport I can.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else I got to turn off. But like you mentioned, there's a real puzzle at
sure.
play here,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, I don't know if the book worries about it because, like you mentioned, the percentage goes up, but the overall handle isn't something I think you stress about.
No, it's the handle's risen. I mean, it's certainly not football, right? And, again, it's not a knock on it. But, again, when I remember the days when we booked the Masters, you know, and the four majors, U.S. Open and British
right.
Open, right, and the PGA. That was it. But now it's like, you know, as things evolve, and it's good. It's good for us. It's good for business. It creates other business as well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, events piggybacking off of each other. Are very helpful and they're good for business and it's just good practices. Write tickets and you know try to offer a good betting menu and selections for.
Don
folks.
Gruden calls that juice.
I need some juice. I think what makes this so good, mm-hmm. what makes the Masters so unique is we all know the holes. And because
yes.
they play them year in and year out.
Exactly.
I mean, so
right.
we feel like we're engaged. We feel like we know the course.
That's
we
right.
feel like we can be an armchair quarterback here. You know, don't hit it over there. You got to hit it over here. Whereas when they play some of these other tournaments, we don't know the course as well.
Right.
So we don't have that same, you know, we can't predict what's going to happen at 13 and 15. And, you know, you're going to go in the water on 15. If don't go too long on 15, but you better not be short. You know,
right.
it's like we feel like we know the course. And I think that's what makes the betting. Look, my son Matthew is, you know, he's an assistant coach with the Carolina Panthers, but he is also a scratch golfer, and he loves to play, and he loves to handicap it, and he doesn't bet it, obviously, but he sends me. There was 5 weeks now he's had four of the five, he's been dead on right on four of the five. 1 week he just blew it, he didn't have it, but I could send you the test. It's really, and he keeps saying, Dad, it's not that hard to handicap because you know the courses, you got to understand the grass,
yeah.
you got to understand who can putt, what is a putting course or is it a driving?
Yep,
what is it?
Courses for courses, yep.
Exactly,
yeah.
yeah. And I think that's what makes the Masters so much fun is because, you know, there'll be a guy that is in first place, right, today. No, this is a good. Yeah, whoever's in first place today, you know he's not going to be in first place on Sunday morning. There's just no chance. I mean, they just know that. You just, you know, you go home and say I'm in first place with the Masters. I mean, it's too. The pressure starts to mount.
The familiarity, as you mentioned, I'm thinking, what is it? 2, 8, 13, and 15, the four par fives.
Mm-hmm.
I might be off on one, but that's just random.
Well, you have so much more history to go by, which increases the interest, right? And frankly, there's more tools. I mean, look, this is a tool, right? What we're talking about is a tool here at Visa, and, you know, Point Spread Weekly. I mean, you know, yeah, these are plugs, but they're good. We got,
Point Spread Weekly,
shots.
Our golf Point Spread
yeah,
Weekly.
Right? They did a great job, you know, and there's some good opinions in there, and it helps people. And again, you say, well, why would you help it better? Well, you help them because it creates interest, it creates betting, it creates handle, and you're writing tickets. So we're happy to provide those things. So
Vinny, in 50
yeah.
seconds,
yeah.
in 45 seconds, just a few ways for a novice better to attack. Matchups and obviously futures.
Futures, matchups, and propositions. So much more familiar because now folks are more familiar with the way betting takes place. And so we took pages from other sports and applied them here. And then frankly, shop. You know, you get fixed odds prices on, you know, for, say, top 10, right? What we did was yes, no, as I indicated with
yep.
Spieth, you know. So there's a lot of different ways to bet it and to enjoy it. And certainly you'll watch it with a lot more interest
yes.
if you've got a couple of tickets
that's
on it.
That's juice, man.
Thanks,
hey,
Vinny.
Question,
hey,
who's better than
you?
Buy
the man a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's
buy the
right.
man a peanut. Will you please buy the man a sandwich?
No seeds,
Patrick?
Grape, creamy. No
you.
Seeds, grape, creamy, right?
That's right.
Whole wheat.
All the way to the edges. Don't skimp.
VSIN Vinny on Twitter. He's the
love
best.
Love it, Vinny. Thank
we
you,
continue with some NFL news here on the Lombardi Line.